Sweet as. All right, we're going to read from Luke 12. If you have your Bibles, you can flick there. Otherwise, you can just listen. Luke 12, starting at verse 35. Now, it's a heavy passage, but we can remember that God is always good and just and loving. So we'll start at Luke 12, verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, and will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he is in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on the day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving of punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on earth, and how I wish you were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what a constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family, divided against each other. Three against two, and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son, and son against father. Mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, Ah, it is going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, It is going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and then the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
Well, good morning, everyone. As always, it's an honour to open up God's Word for you this morning. And this week, as I've been preparing, I've had to work much harder than I often do to get my head around the passage and think about how do we apply it, how does it speak to us. But I've been working hard and I'm nervous but excited to share God's Word with you today. I'm just going to begin by praying. Father in heaven, I just thank you that we can hear from your word now. As we read these warnings in the passage, I just ask you would give us ears to hear and speak to our heart. And I pray the wonderful encouragements in the passage would give us great joy. And I just pray you'd help me to speak clearly now. Amen. I want to start by asking, what's something in your life that you've been so excited about, it's just consumed all of your thoughts? Something that your heart has eagerly longed for to happen. For many of us here, not all of us, but for many, our wedding day was one of those events. It takes months of planning and preparing. It feels like an eternity of waiting. Getting ready for that special day, in the lead up to the wedding, we're diligently preparing and organizing so that when the event arrives, we are ready. But just imagine if in the lead up to the big event, if after sending out the invites, you got distracted and busy and forgot that the wedding was going to happen. And then when the wedding day finally came, you were distracted and busy and forgot to show up at all. Well, this actually happened in a wedding last year, but it wasn't the bride or groom who forgot to show up. It was the marriage celebrant. They received a call 5 minutes before the ceremony was about to start, asking where they were. They were down in Sydney at a family lunch while the bride, groom, and the whole wedding were waiting in Newcastle. They were not ready. They were not prepared. And they were in a lot of trouble. Now, married or not, there's something even greater than a wedding that we should be excited about, that our hearts should long for to happen. And this event, we also need to make sure we are ready and prepared for, or we too will find ourselves in trouble. And this event is the return of our Lord Jesus, the day when he comes back in the same way he left the earth, as a physical person. As I was preparing, as always happens, I myself have been convicted by this passage. And I was convicted that the return of Jesus, it's not something that is always on the forefront of my mind like it should be. But Jesus tells me it should be. And it does seem to be the norm for Christians in the Bible. As I was thinking about these things, so many verses just started to pop up. In the book of Revelation, John closes with the words, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." It was on his mind. Paul, in his letter to Titus, urges people to live godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The reason they were to live godly lives is while they wait for Jesus to return. And in the letter to the Philippians, Paul says, our citizenship's not in heaven, while we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many, many more references. So the question this morning I want to ask as we go through this passage, are you ready and waiting and longing for the return of our Lord Jesus? Jesus puts this question at the forefront of our minds, and Jesus tells us why it is important that we are ready. Please read with me now. If your Bibles, please open up in chapter 12, verse 35 and 36. Jesus says, "Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning. like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. We have here a parable Jesus tells, and he's painting a picture. The picture is of a household. And in this household, there's a master of the house. And in this household, there are servants also living in the house. Now, the master has gone away to a wedding. And this wedding, as they often do, has gone late into the night. And while the master is away, we are told here the servants are to keep their lamps burning. They're to have their lights on, even late at night. More than that, it says at this late hour, they are to be dressed and ready for service. They have their sleeves rolled up. They are to be ready for work. And we're told in verse 38, they are to stay up even if the master comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. So when the master does return and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Jesus here, I believe, is telling the crowds and the disciples about the time between his resurrection and ascension into heaven and return. And he knows, as he's saying this parable, soon he will not be here on the earth in the flesh. After Jesus died and ascended, there's a time now where Jesus is not here physically with us, a time when the master of the house is away. The time from the apostles until now, we are waiting for the master of the house to return. Jesus is telling us we are to be ready and waiting for his return. And this is a reminder we need. Because let me ask you this question. If the master of the house is away for a very, very long time and it's getting very, very late, normally would you expect the servants to be awake or asleep? The answer, of course, is normally servants would go to bed. Normally they won't be still dressed in their work clothes. The natural way to respond would be to be in your pajamas in bed. Or imagine a school class where the teacher leaves the room for a while. Maybe they've had to take an urgent call. How long does it take before the children start playing up? I remember one such instance when I was at school. The teacher had left the room. They'd been gone for some time. I was no a part of this, but a fellow classmate had started to make a flamethrower with their deodorant can and a lighter. While the master was away, work stopped. People didn't do what they were meant to. Most became distracted. But while this is a natural response, Jesus' expectation is that while we wait for our master, we won't get distracted. He tells us we're to be dressed and ready for service all through the night. As he says in verse 40, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus could return today. Tomorrow, we don't know. But are you ready? So we've been told here we need to be ready. We're to be thinking about Jesus' return. But why are we to be ready? What's the motivation to be ready? Well, for those who are waiting and ready when the Master returns, we're told this will be a most wonderful day. Please have a look with me at verse 37. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. Again, in verse 38, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. This phrase, it will be good, is exactly the same word used in the Beatitudes when Jesus tells us, blessed are the peacemakers. Here, Jesus is saying, those who are ready will be blessed. And the servants whose master finds them watching will be blessed. The master himself will be so pleased with his servants. We're told he will invite them to his own table as his own companions. On this day, we will be in perfect fellowship with Jesus in his presence. On the day of our Master Jesus' return, it is on the day that we will experience the fullness of God's promises. It's clear why all the Christians in the early New Testament were so excited and longing for Jesus' return. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, since that day, all Christians now are one in Christ Jesus. We enjoy and experience fellowship with one another here at church. This is a wonderful thing. But on this day when Jesus returns, we will enjoy fellowship with all of God's people from all nations, from all periods of history, all those who have gone before us, all those we have loved who have left this earth and passed away. On this day, we will be reunited. It will be a wonderful day. When Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he defeated the power of sin and death. That is amazing. But on the day that Jesus returns, those who are ready and waiting, sin and death will be no more. We will be free from pain and sorrow and physical suffering. It will be a wonderful day. When Jesus returns, there will no longer be corrupt leadership or ruthless dictators on this earth, but Jesus will be king and rule with justice. It will be a wonderful day, a day to long for. But greater than all these things when Jesus returns is what Jesus tells us in verse 37 in this parable. The master will dress himself to serve, will have his servants recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. We will be in the presence of God and enjoy fellowship with him forever. This picture of the master inviting his servants to the table, I think, is very much the idea of Revelation 21, verse 3 to 4. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the order of things has passed away. When Jesus, our Master, returns, we will be in his fellowship and presence forever. It will be a wonderful day for those who are ready. Now, the story that I told at the start about the wedding, where the marriage celebrant was not prepared for the big day and forgot to turn up. There was one person on this day who it was a good day for, apart from the bride and the groom. And this person was the DJ at the wedding. The DJ, he was well prepared for service. His sleeves were rolled up. And as there was no marriage celebrant to marry the couple, he got to do the duties of the wedding ceremony. And he was greatly rewarded. Publicity all over social media and the news. It couldn't have been better for his business. However, for the marriage celebrant, it couldn't have been worse. She was very publicly received negative publicity, and the next day, her business could not be found anywhere online from the fallout. It was a terrible day for her. Now, I share this illustration just as a light-hearted story, and I do feel sorry for that marriage celebrant. I know we all make mistakes. But the point that I want to make is that on this day, the same day, it was wonderful for some, but terrible for others. And it was it's very serious. Jesus tells us that this same day of his return, that is going to be so wonderful for those who are ready, will also be a terrible day for those who are not. Jesus gives us a second parable about his return. Please read with me verse 42 to 44. The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions." Here, Jesus paints the picture of a manager who's put in charge of the master's servants. And again, very similar to the last parable, the master goes away. And Jesus says if this manager is found to be doing the right thing, he will receive a great reward, be put in charge of everything the master has. A wonderful thing to look forward to. But there is a second half to this parable. There's also something terrible, the master says. What will happen if he comes back and the manager is doing the wrong thing? Please read with me verse 45 to 48. "But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready, or does not do what the master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Now, what is going on here in these verses? This is scary. Jesus' words are very strong and very harsh. The words Jesus uses to describe for those who are not ready for his return are the manager being cut to pieces, assigned a place with unbelievers in verse 46. The servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready, being beaten with many blows in verse 47. And the one who does not know these things and isn't ready, being beaten with few blows in verse 48. Now, as a preacher, it would be so much easier for me if these verses weren't here. But they are, and it's God's word, and I want to be faithful to what he has to say. Now, this passage sounds harsh, and it is. But I believe these harsh words are actually God's grace for us. They are here for us to read, to speak to us in our lives, because God loves us. These warnings are real, and God gives us these warnings so that when Jesus returns, we can avoid it being a terrible day, so that it will be a wonderful day that we will be ready. Just like a warning sign on the edge of a cliff saying, danger, cliff edge, do not proceed. Just like those signs help us avoid falling off the edge of the cliff to death or great injury, so too Jesus' warnings here help us, because Jesus loves us, so we can avoid great death or injury. So if we have ears to hear, if we are God's children, he will use these warnings to help us turn away from a cliff edge. Now let's think about these things more closely and let a warning speak to our heart. In verse 42, the language of the master putting a manager over the servants of the house seems to be talking about those who have leadership responsibilities among God's servants. It certainly applies to pastors and those in full-time ministry. But in our church here, we also have many, many who are leaders, who care spiritually, feed God's servants, as mentioned in the parable. They are very much also managers of God's servants too. Growth group leaders, youth group leaders, those in ministry teams, leading ministry teams, Sunday school teachers. All those who are part of or have gifts of leadership, gifts that care for and spiritually feed God's servants. All of us in these positions have been given a greater responsibility and will be accountable to God in a greater way when Jesus returns. Have we used our roles as faithful and wise managers while we wait for our master? Or have we been not doing our master's will, abusing our position, only caring for our own needs? This warning is here for us. Are we ready for Jesus' return? If we are not, it will be an awful day when the master comes back. Now is the time to change. This warning from Jesus is for us. But I think in this passage, in these verses, it's not just leaders which receive a warning. The first warning, I think, was for the leaders. But then in verse 47 and verse 48, it seems to me Jesus is not just referring to the servant who is a manager, but to servants in general. Because their discipline is referred to in a very different way. It's not as harsh as the discipline given to the manager. So I think 47 and 48 are for all servants of the master. And Jesus says there's different severities of beating, different levels of judgment. And his basis for this is verse 48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Jesus' judgment will be just and fair. All that we have is from the hand of God. We are stewards with all that he's given us, accountable for how we live our lives, use our gifts and talents, our time, our finances. When Jesus returns, if we have not been living for him, if we have not been preparing and ready and dressed for service on the day of his return, we are in trouble, Jesus says. This warning is to us, his servants. Now, what exactly does it mean to receive a severe beating or to receive a light beating? I do not know. I've read all the commentaries, talked to Christians wiser than myself. I've seen there's many different views out there about exactly what this is, but it is not clear to me. But I don't think in this passage it needs to be clear. Jesus doesn't explicitly spell out what it is, but one thing Jesus does make explicitly clear, that when he returns, we need to be ready. His return will be a wonderful event if we are, but he warns us, a terrible day if we are not. And so what does it look like to be ready for Jesus' return then? What does that look like in our life? We've talked so much about the need to be ready, but how does that look for us? I have two answers that I want to give to this question. First, I want to talk about the fruits of being ready, and second, I want to talk about the roots of being ready. As a horticulturalist by trade, I see so much of the world through plants. Now, in my backyard, I have 5 citrus trees, 2 varieties of orange, 2 varieties of mandarin, 1 variety of lemon. All of these trees are citrus trees. All of these trees will produce good fruit. But all 5 of these trees' fruit will look and taste different. So too it is with us. We are all servants of our master. We are all expected to produce fruit as we live for Jesus and be dressed ready for service. But that fruit will look different for all of us. The fruit of being ready for Jesus, it's not something that we can just measure in dot points or a checklist. It's not about exactly how many dollars you give away or what percentage as a measure. It's not about a number of ministries that you can list or a checklist of sins or holiness that you've defeated. It's not about the amount of minutes that we spend each day reading or praying. It's not a checklist. The principle for being ready is found in this chapter too, I think. Please flick with me back to just verse 31. Verse 31 of chapter 12. But seek first his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. And in verse 34, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The fruit of being ready is living for God's kingdom. And the test for our hearts, are we seeking treasure here on earth, or is our treasure in heaven? Is our treasure in waiting for God's promises when Jesus returns? That tells us where our heart is. That tells us if we are seeking God's kingdom. Jesus' words here, they're not to put a heavy expectation on top of us in an already busy life. No, Jesus' words here are to shape our very lives, to shape our goals, to help us recalibrate what is most important. Not getting distracted in this life, but asking where our treasure is. What are we living for? Are we greatly anticipating a new house, a renovation, a holiday, climbing the ladder in our careers, a new toy? Or are we greatly anticipating Jesus and his return? Now, everything I listed before about the checklist, while those things don't tell us exactly, we can't measure that we're ready by listing these things. All of these things are greatly reflected if we are seeking God's kingdom. It will be reflected in how we give. It will be reflected in the time for ministry, pursuit of holiness, spending time in God's word. But these themselves are not the measure. These will be different for everyone. So the first part of my answer for what it means to be ready for Jesus, seeking his kingdom. Now I want to talk about the roots of being ready. And I want to go back to the citrus trees I mentioned before in my backyard. Five different trees. All five of those trees have the same rootstock they are grafted onto. Their own roots are not strong enough to give them life in Australian soils, so they're grafted onto strong Benton rootstocks. And without the rootstock, there would be no fruit at all, and the tree would die. The fruit of being ready is very important, but even more so, the roots of being ready. And now I want to turn our attention to the last two verses of this passage. Please read with me verse 58. As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. This picture is of two people on their way to court. Jesus says in this picture, before you get to court, try and be reconciled on the journey there. Because once you arrive, you will face the judge. And once you're before the judge, it's too late for reconciliation then. You might end up in prison then. This picture Jesus paints about us is about us now while we wait for Jesus' return. When Jesus comes back on that day, when the Master returns, it will be too late for reconciliation. We will be found to be ready, or we will be found to be not ready. But now, while we wait, we can find reconciliation with God. The roots of being ready for Jesus are to be reconciled to God by trusting in Jesus and his death in our place, that we might be forgiven of our sins for our wrongdoings. If we are convicted that we are not ready for Jesus' return now, if our lives are not seeking God's kingdom, if we are leaders and we haven't been using our roles well, if we are servants and we are not living for God's will, this passage is not just a kick in the guts to condemn us. This passage is here to warn us. Now is the time to be reconciled. It is not too late. Trust in Jesus. Find forgiveness in him, that we may seek his kingdom. That when Jesus returns, it will be a wonderful day for us. The fruit of being ready is seeking God's kingdom. But without the root of being ready, without reconciliation to God through Jesus, the fruit is not even possible. So reconciliation to God is of primary importance to be ready for his return. Now, in closing, Jesus' return will be a day we do not expect. It will be a wonderful day for those who are ready, the day we experience the fullness of God's presence, his promises fulfilled. But it will be a terrible day for those who are not ready. Prepare yourself now for Jesus' return. Now is the time to be reconciled. Are you ready for Jesus' return? Do you eagerly desire him to come back? That day when the master of the house will be in our presence and invite us to his table. Come, Lord Jesus, come. I'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful encouragements you give us and for the warnings you give us now, that we may be reconciled to you and seek your kingdom. Please speak to us and show us how it applies to our life. Help us to examine our heart and where our treasure is. May we be ready for your day, and may you come back soon. Amen.